Hour number two. It's the Big Show, Russick and Rose. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Powered by MortgagesToGo.ca. Always the lowest interest rates in Canada since 2004. Visit MortgagesToGo.ca. Bottom of the hour, Frank Saravalli. NHL Daily Faceoff on this whole Coyotes mess.
They've done this situation. Before, eh?
That's the voice of Mr. Brent Cron. He's here today because both Maddie and Patrick are away. So it's me, you, GVP, Connor, intern Simon. There's a lot of men in here today. Another man will be joining us at 8 o'clock. Hall of Fame Stanley Cup champion Mike Vernon in studio for the 8 o'clock hour.
Looking forward to that.
We'll unleash our text topic in about 20 minutes, too, for your chance to win some Luke Bryan tickets. Lots to do.
Lots to get to.
Yes. But on the line right now, Blue Jays reporter for Sportsnet on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, we say good morning to Shai Davidi. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm all right. What's going on?
Shai, through X number of games on the season right now, does this team have any different vibes than last year? Because it just, even that series finale against the Mariners, they had multiple opportunities to score a run with runners in scoring position. Does this team really feel a lot different than last year already, or no?
Well, so far, not really, I would think. But it is different in the sense that the way they're getting there and the way they're constructed and the different kind of combinations of players that they have is certainly different. And so in some ways, there are some hitters that are still just getting their feet wet. It's still an infinitesimal sample. I mean, they've faced so far four of the probably the best pitching teams that you're going to find in the American League. And I'm not sure that it's necessarily representative of everything. I mean, they did a great job against Kirby and Castillo in that Mariners series. I mean, Logan Gilbert, nobody was hitting him the way he was pitching the other day, so I wouldn't put too much stock into that. And look, it was one terrific Jorge Polanco play at second base, ranging into the outfield. He had that flare from Ernie Clement there. They're that close from winning. You know, there's like, you know, six more inches on that ball, it's touch and green, and, you know, the Blue Jays have a sweep. So I'm not sure that I want to read too much into anything at this point. They are certainly constructed differently and have different pathways to piece a lineup. And that, to me, is so far the main difference I'm seeing.
Shai, I know that batting average is an antiquated stat, but when you're the Blue Jays and you're 25th in batting average, just hitting .212 as a team, that matters, right?
Well, it's also early. I mean, if you took this before the Mariners series, they were batting in the low 100s. So, yeah, it's not great. Again, tiny sample, and that's going to change over time. That's going to normalize to some degree. But to me, I think the one stat that you can look at and say, okay, this bodes, this is somewhat promising for the offense, has been the walk rate. They've been among, if not the leader in walks in the American League. This, despite a lineup that very much hasn't hit its stride. And so that selectivity and the fact that guys aren't going to chase as much as maybe some other teams, that's going to help them in the long term. So I would still say that, you know, we've got to be careful about over-analyzing 2 weeks' worth of games.
Sure.
Because that's really all it's been. And within a wider sample, there's all kinds of randomness that can come into play there. But yeah, would you like to have seen them hit the ground running and pound a bunch more home runs and get way more base hits? Absolutely. That hasn't been there so far. And obviously, you've got to kind of keep that in mind when looking at this team. But at the same time, you rushing to judge at this point, again, also based on the quality of opponent that they've had, I think that could be a little bit dangerous too.
Would a power left-handed bat really make that much of a difference in this lineup?
Sure. A power anything bat would make a difference. Like nobody wants less power, right? And nobody wants less of something you don't have, which is a left-handed power hitter. So it would absolutely make a difference, but it would make a difference if it was a right-handed power hitter too. I think where it would really come in and make a big difference is if you could have a left-handed hitter in the cleanup spot, just making life difficult for opposing managers in leverage situations and forcing them to really think about how they're handling their relievers there. I think you go sort of left, right, left. If you had a left-handed cleanup hitter, you'd go whoever that is, Justin Turner, number five, and then you could go Kevin Biggio, six. And now, again, you're making life much more difficult for your opponent to manage in that spot. But look, there's still a long way to go this season. There are a lot of things that we aren't expecting to happen could very well happen as things play out. And some teams are in, some teams are out, and maybe there's a pickup to be made at the trade deadline. But if you're looking at sort of the ideal roster construction, yeah, absolutely. It's a left-handed power bat. Exactly what the Blue Jays need.
Who's going to have a bigger impact on the Blue Jays season, Ernie Clement or David Schneider?
Ooh, that's an interesting one. I think right now it's David Schneider because he hits home runs, right? Mm. And the Blue Jays need home runs. And Ernie Clement does a lot of things really well. And I know there's some people who think he's got a bigger role to play. There are other people who think that he's going to be being optimized the way he's being used right now. Ultimately, this team needs slug, and David Schneider provides it. And so that power threat is really important to this lineup, and the fact that he's been able to hit a couple home runs at key times for this team have been vitally important to a pair of wins.
Shai, Brent Cron here. Have you noticed anything different from Vlad Guerrero's approach at the plate from last season to this season?
At times, there have been a few times, particularly early in that Mariners series, where you saw him expanding a little bit and trying to force it. But earlier in the season, you know, I think that the Rays series, in the Yankee series, Houston a little bit, where you saw a little bit more of that discipline. The ground ball rate is still high, which is something that obviously you don't want. And that's something that is sometimes tied to pitch selection. It's also tied to how opponents are pitching him. So, and again, we're still dealing with really small samples. But a few of the things, like obviously the physical changes that he made have been important. He's holding his hands up a little bit higher, which are allowing him to control his swing path a bit better. That's also been important. But again, you wanted to see Vladimir Guerrero Jr. take off the way he did in 2021, right out of the gates. Hasn't happened yet. Hasn't happened for the team collectively. And so, you know, that doesn't mean it won't. It's just, I think the full benefit of some of the work that he did hasn't revealed itself just yet.
Has he turned in the most frustrating guy to watch on the team?
I don't think so. And to me, I still look at him and he could do something special at any point, right? And that home run off Gilbert the other day, not many hitters are doing that. And he can absolutely crush the ball. And he's fascinating at bat every time you watch him. Like him and Bo Bichette, to me, are must-watch at-bats. So I understand everybody wants him to be the 2021 MVP version of himself. That guy is definitely in there. But, you know, who he is, I don't know that people appreciate that enough either.
Shai Davidi, Blue Jays baseball columnist for Sportsnet, joining us here on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, Big Show, Russick and Rose, 960 The Fan. Has Justin Turner been just as advertised as we thought he was going to be already this season? A guy who gives you very good at-bats, a guy who still has a lot of power at this point of his major league career. Shai, I think he's been everything they wanted and more so far.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, whenever you sign a 39-year-old to play essentially an everyday role, there's a bit of holding your breath because at some point he's going to hit a wall, and it's coming, just the way that it did for Nelson Cruz and the way it does for so many other great players at that age. But you just don't know when that wall is going to come. And, you know, for Nelson Cruz, it was one-year deal. He was great. And then I think he was 40 or 41 in his final year, and it was just – that was it. It was gone. And the Blue Jays looked at Justin Turner. They obviously liked the package that he offered holistically, but there was always that little bit in the back of their mind saying, you know, could this possibly be the year? And the way that he's gotten off to such a great start, you can really trust in it and say, okay, no, this is not going to be the year, and Justin Turner is going to be a factor for this team. So, and again, I don't mean to harp on this point, but you also factor that he was putting up that performance against quality teams. and quality pitching staff. So that's, you know, part of the piece that the Blue Jays wanted to bring him in for, the fact that he can hit good pitching, the fact that he hits good pitching with men in scoring position. So, as advertised, exactly what they hoped, and probably a bit of a breath of relief there as well.
The Blue Jays calling up Yariel Rodriguez. What should fans expect from that guy?
He's fascinating, and I haven't been able to ferret out the details yet on role and how they intend to use him. I do know that they have an inning number in mind for him this year, and they're going to be managing that. So I'd imagine it's in some sort of multi-inning role, maybe not necessarily as a starter just yet, but he's really fun to watch. He's got a little bit of funk in his delivery, great stuff. He's got a good fastball. He's got a couple good breaking balls. He can really manipulate the way that he gets the break on his pitches. He's smart. He's mature. Every time I've seen him, he's been really entertaining. So I think that the Blue Jays, they have some question marks in terms of how many innings they're going to get right now from Bowden Francis. Where's Kevin Gausman at? It's after, you know, he's had the slower buildups this season and had the dip in velocity in his last outing. So they need a little bit more bulk in that bullpen. And Yariel Rodriguez can certainly provide that. And then he can also pitch in leverage, because that's something that he's done. And the Blue Jays have been a little thin in leverage as they're waiting for Jordan Romano and Eric Swanson to come back. So there are a few different roles that he can fit into. And I wonder if he might be used a little bit as a Swiss Army knife, at least for the time being.
Shai, if the Rockies and Oakland A's play a best-of-seven series, who wins that series?
Nobody. definitely not the people who'd have to watch it. They are, I mean, for different reasons too, right? Like, Oakland's just is a really smart front office in a really terrible situation. And so you can only do so much without resources, without support, without initiative for so long, right? And they've been at the forefront of baseball management, player development for a long time, but a lot of the lack of resources has caught up with them. The Rockies just more seems to be incompetence, right? This is not a team that's been managed well for a long time. You think about some of the great teams that they managed to put together in the early 2000s, even early or mid to late 90s, when they had Walker and Bichette and Andres Galarraga and Vinny Castilla, the Blake Street Bombers teams, like those teams can mash. And then they had, you know, the Tulowitzki teams, Charlie Blackman, Holiday, Brad Hopp, Carlos Gonzalez. Like they had some great players. And as the industry has made leaps, the Rockies have not. And that's caught up to them. They don't develop players very well, and so it's not they're a tough team to watch. It's kind of sad. So it's a team that should always be able to rake, should always be able to put up great offensive numbers in the ballpark they play in. Obviously, hasn't happened for a number of reasons. And you just look at how tough that division is with the Dodgers and the Giants and the Diamondbacks. Just really high quality, the Padres, and then how are the Rockies supposed to overcome that with the way they're being run? It's a tough situation for that club. You hope the best for Canadian Cal Quantrill, who's ended up on that staff this year. But those two teams played one another. I'm not sure how many people are dying to put it on.
How does the ballpark look?
Very much more like a baseball stadium, right? You know, there are a couple blind spots in the corners from different angles. Like if you're in the Blue Jays dugout and somebody hits a ball into the left field corner, you're guessing as to what happened, right? Unless you come out and talking to Blue Jays third base coach Carlos Feblis about how he has to manage that. He's like, oh, it's kind of like Fenway. And he talked about, you know, in certain situations, how in Boston he would sometimes creep into fair territory to make sure that he got a sense of what was happening with the balls. And as long as you don't interfere with the play, you can do that. He's going to be having to do that here in Toronto as well. So that's interesting. But I think the entire place just has a bit of a different feel to it, more of a ballpark type of feel to it. I hope fans are enjoying it. And I'm curious just to see how it starts to play over a bigger sample than three games.
Shai Davidi, Blue Jays reporter for Sportsnet. Always terrific stuff. Shai, thanks for this, pal.
You got it. Take care.
There he is, Shai Davidi in the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Patrick Dumas will be at the game tonight. Give us a report on Tuesday on what the Rogers Center looks like. The revamped Rogers Center looks like, because that place isn't going anywhere.
Also, did you see Patrick's tweet on the division realignment went like kind of almost viral?
Did it really?
Yeah, like it absolutely blew up. He's got like, let me, I'm just bringing it up here. He's got like 494 retweets, 482
wow.
comments. A lot of people seem on board with
because it's perfect.
Yeah, he is. I miss him already.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to share that with Frank, because that was something we talked about yesterday. Yeah. Was do the Flames and Oilers move in realignment now that
Salt Lake,
Salt Lake's there? Yeah, because you have Colorado, Utah, Nevada all together.
I breezed by it on Twitter. Yeah, I had a look at it too. I didn't retweet it. I didn't want to give them the satisfaction, right? You know, kind of interesting. Four teams in each.
Yeah, it is super interesting.
The proposed Southwest division would be an absolute gauntlet for the Salt Lake team. They'd have Colorado, Dallas, and Vegas in it.
I know that would be a tough one.
And the Flames would be in a division with Calgary, Edmonton, and Vancouver and Winnipeg.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be like playoffs in that one, you know, division you just mentioned there too for 82 games essentially, right?
Yeah, it'd be great. We'll get Frank Saravalli's opinion on that. We also have some Luke Bryan tickets to give away. Mike Vernon's going to join us in studio. Hall of Famer, Stanley Cup champion. We all know how clutch he was in 1989 in that Stanley Cup run. The glove saves he made on Stan Smeal in overtime in Game 7 against the Canucks in Round 1.
That's why I became a goalie. Remember watching it as a kid on a wooden TV with a screen in it.
Oh,
and sliding
the
into
old the radiation cake.
Yeah, and I was right there in my Theo Fleury PJs.
Oh,
watching.
Wow.
Yep.
In 89, Theo Fleury PJs?
Yeah.
Okay. That's great. Mike Vernon was as clutch in 89 like I'm clutch in blank. Mike Vernon was clutch in the 89 Cup run like I'm clutch in blank. We want to know what you're clutch in.
Yeah.
960-960, name and location for Luke Bryan tickets. I think we'll mix in a few phone calls at 8:30 with Mike Vernon in studio.
I like that approach.
You think Vernon will like that?
I don't know.
Okay, well, we'll find out.
We'll
find out if he likes it or not. He'd be like, I don't like that we're talking to people. I don't want to talk to these weirdos.
He texted me and just said, hey, is the coffee on? I said, we don't have coffee in here.
We should probably go get him some then.
Yeah, I should probably get him some coffee.
Or there's some coffee upstairs.
Okay.
All right, Frank Saravalli's next. Do you want to do your All Kind Door Services read in the meantime?
Absolutely.
Because we haven't done it yet?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
Brent Curran is brought to you by All Kind Door Services Limited, your go-to service company for the last 35 years, offering 24-hour emergency service. For all your door repairs, anything that swings, slides, or rolls, call 403-266-1411.
Terrific stuff. Frank Saravalli next. It's The Big Show, Russick and Rose. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. It's The Big Show, Russick and Rose. Sportsnet 960, The Fan, powered by MortgagesToGo.ca. Always the lowest interest rates in Canada since 2004. Visit MortgagesToGo.ca. Top of the hour, Stanley Cup champion, Hockey Hall of Famer Mike Vernon in studio, because Brent Cron's here.
That's right.
And you can look at him with all your old googly eyes.
Oh, I know. Did you take a photo of me last time just staring at him while he was talking?
Yeah, you're
it was
like,
so
oh,
weird.
He's right there.
I know. It's like he can't see me because like, it looks like he's in the zoo or something like that. I'm just staring at him through glass. It's like, wow.
Mike Vernon.
Yeah.
He'll join us in the studio for the whole 8 o'clock hour.
I love it.
We got a lot to do. We have Luke Bryan tickets to give away. Speargrass Golf Show. We have four passes to the golf course to give away. We'll do plays of the week. Good Lord, we're busy in the 8 o'clock hour. Our text question at 960-960. Mike Vernon was as clutch in the 89 Cup run like I'm clutch in blank. Mike Vernon was clutch in the 89 Cup run like I'm clutch in blank. 960-960, name and location. When you pick your text, we pick your phone call, you win Luke Bryan tickets.
That's simple.
Next Wednesday, as my voice cracks, because I'm still crazy sick. But right now, joining us on the line, courtesy of South Trail Exports, with inventory shortages across the city, it's the perfect time to sell your vehicle for cash. Visit SouthTrailExports.com from NHL Daily Faceoff, Frank Saravalli. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm good. Mike Vernon was clutch in the 89 Cup Final. Like, I am clutch in picking restaurants.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. What did you go somewhere really nice recently in the Philadelphia area?
No, I had your predecessor down here, Dean Boomer Mulberg.
Okay.
And
I'm not familiar with that name.
He was here for WrestleMania.
Oh, nice.
And look, he said the places I sent him, he goes, "Hey, this is unbelievable." I said, "Look, buddy, when it comes to food, I don't mess around."
Yeah.
Look at you. You're the Tiger Woods of restaurants. Tiger won over. He just finished his first round at Augusta National. This Coyote situation, Frank, you're all over like a dirty shirt this week. This is happening, right? They're moving to Salt Lake City sooner than later?
It's very close to happening. I wouldn't say that it's definitely happening, but they are well down the track is the phrase that I've used. And, you know, I think we're kind of in the semantic stage of verbal agreement or have agreed to terms or closing in on an agreement, all the usual insider caveats that I could throw at you. It's pretty close.
What was the last straw here for the NHL?
I think it's the owner. I think it's also the potentiality that this stay in Mullet Arena kind of feels interminable. I mean, even in the best case scenario, everything goes perfectly, wins the land auction, deals with the infrastructure issues, gets shovels in the ground next year. We're still looking at 2027, October 2027.
Good Lord.
That's the best case.
Yeah.
What if 1 year from now, they won the land auction, but have met 9 roadblocks in lawsuits from citizens and government watchdog groups, and we are just meandering like this franchise has been in the desert for the last 2 decades? I don't think the NHL wanted to find out what that looked like. And the best case scenario is for the Coyotes and that market to start fresh at some point.
Why Salt Lake?
Rapidly growing. I kind of think of it as the Nashville of the West. Obviously not in terms of drinking and fun. But I would say that it's affluent. It's, I mean, the population is booming. There's a growing tech component to it. And it fits. The least of all is they've got a billionaire owner with deep pockets who desperately wants to be part of the club. Any of those things are better than Alex Mariello and what he's got going in Arizona, welching on hotel bills.
Now, we kind of mentioned that off the top. I saw it on social media last night. Can you please dig a little deeper in that for us? Like a professional hockey team, a big four major sports team is shirking their bills, their hotel bills. Is this true?
Yeah, it's 100% true. And I mean, I'm not trying to pile on the way out, but it got to the point this year where the league had to come in and say, can you please stop your nonsense? Basically, what happened was the Coyotes weren't paying their hotel bills. And obviously, these hotels extend you lines of credit when you have such a big party checking in. You have catering, you have everything else. And essentially, they all kind of banded together. There's, you know, only so many hotels that every team in the league stays in at each stop. And they all connected with one another and said, "Hey, are you experiencing the same thing with the Coyotes that we are?" And some of the answers were yes. And so some of these hotels said, "Hey, we don't mind if you stay here, but on check-in, you've got to present a cashier's check."
Oh, boy.
That's a tough one to digest, eh? Yikes. Frank, Brent Cron here. I'm going to switch gears on you here a little bit to the Eastern Conference playoff run.
You're tired of the Coyotes?
Tired of the Coyotes. This has happened before, too, right? Where it's just what's happening here, what's happening there.
Well, we also want to ask you about potential realignment and our producer, Patrick.
Not happening.
Okay, but we're going to throw something your way at the end of the interview and see if you like it, okay?
Do you have a team name?
No. It's about divisional realignment.
I want you to have a team name. You got to come up with a team name.
I heard a listener came up, the Church of Latter-day Skates.
Yeah, that's
By the way, you can laugh, but the Church of Latter-day Saints actually sent out a press release saying that they support NHL hockey in Utah.
And if they didn't?
You may laugh, but that's actually a big deal.
It's a big endorsement for sure, yeah.
So the Latter-day Skates, what do you think of that then?
I would say that probably wouldn't go over that well there.
Okay. Well, it's the Beehive State.
What?
So maybe the Stingers.
Woof.
Okay. What do you like, Frank? All right, you're a critic. Give me a name then, Frank.
How about the Utah Yeti?
Like the cooler?
Yeah.
Like the cooler, but I'm thinking more like the monster? The abominable snowman.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I always think of a cooler because I'm like, oh, what can keep my beer
cold? Utah Yeti?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's got a ring. And they have mountains there.
What about the Utah Grizzlies? You buy it off of the ECHL team.
Okay.
Great logo. Outstanding logo and good color scheme. And you've already got people in town wearing your merch.
Wow. Well thought out. I like that.
I've had a lot of time to think about this.
Okay.
The Utah Bears.
In my face then, Frank. Go ahead.
Hey, you said it.
There you go. Ask about the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, yeah. I got a big question teed up for him here right now. With the Islanders, who would you start in net game one of the playoffs for the Islanders right now? Varlamov or Sorokin?
I know what the numbers say. I know what the Islanders have been, you know, they've been going back to Varlamov pretty consistently.
Mm-hmm.
I'd still go with Sorokin, which, by the way, his numbers aren't bad either the last few games that he's played. So it's not as if he struggled. It's just that Varlamov has kind of grabbed the reins here. And I love the veteran savvy. I love the ability to turn to him if you want to. But to me, Sorokin has more of a game-breaking ability. And when your team needs all the help that they can get, I'd rely on the guy that I think could steal you a series.
Yeah, no, I agree with you completely. We had Mike Vernon in studio here a couple months back as he walks by the studio now. And he was saying, too, when he was in Detroit, when they won the Stanley Cup, Osgood was the starter. But, you know, towards the end of the season, Scotty Bowman came to him and said, you're going to be my starter in the playoffs no matter what happens, right? And I agree with you on Sorokin there. He's been their workhorse. He's the more talented of the two, but it's nice to have that veteran presence to come in and help out when needed.
It's interesting that you said that, though, and I hadn't put this together until right now. Scotty Bowman obviously had a lot of trust in Mike Vernon, but what about Semyon Varlamov previously working with Patrick Waugh in Colorado? Maybe there's just a trust factor there that doesn't exist or hasn't been built yet with Sorokin.
Yeah, that's a good point too. But then moving on to Carolina, what do you think is what needs to go right for them in the playoffs for them to go for on a deep run or make some noise, or what's standing in their way?
The way they've played since the trade deadline, I don't think anything's really standing in their way. I mean, Freddie Anderson has been unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
His numbers are just off the charts. And honestly, with the time that he missed with that blood clotting issue, I didn't really see that coming. So some people would have pointed to goaltending and said, man, I don't really trust their guys. And it's not because they're not good. It's that most of the time they're not upright. So that's one part of it. But the Jake Guentzel acquisition has been exactly as advertised. That team needed, I used the term earlier, game breaker. They needed someone that could be a difference maker. And they've always had good pieces. They've always had a deep defense core. Guentzel has come in and been that guy. And I can't say how humongous that is. And you think about the Noah Hanifin extension that came down yesterday in Vegas. Wonder if Carolina's working on something similar with Jake Guentzel to stay because he's been that good of a fit.
Yeah. You know, I have concerns myself with Freddie Anderson's regular seasons have been good for him and playoffs haven't been so great with Toronto in particular. Do you think this is a year that he can hold strong and establish himself as a playoff player?
So much of that feels like in his own head, right?
Yep.
It's obviously not an ability thing. I mean, he's got the game. And I'm pulling up his numbers right here. I can't make sense of how ridiculously good he's been. 8-1-0 since coming off of the blood clot with a 954.
Boy.
954, that's insane.
Almost perfection.
Three shutouts, by the way, in those nine games. Can he do it? Maybe this is the year in which he's only played 15 games. Like, he's obviously fresh. Why not?
Yeah. No, I hear you. Going to turn my attention to Boston here. They laid an egg in the first round last season against Florida. They did a huge choke job. Do you think that going into the playoffs this year that they're going to learn from it and be a bit more prepared and ready to establish some dominance, or what do you think the Bruins are going to do here in the playoffs?
I don't know if it's the lingering taste from last year in the playoffs that kind of has me skeptical, or is it their center depth, or is it the fact that I think because their goalies have played so well that it kind of feels like the rest of their roster has overachieved? I saw something from Sportlogic the other day that said if the Bruins had gotten league average save percentage this season, as opposed to .916 from Ullmark and Swayman, that they'd be closer to 96 points this year instead of the 107 that they've racked up. I mean, that's a huge difference. And, you know, ifs and buts, like, that doesn't really count for anything because the goaltending has been that good. And you know, I think to me, that's another question mark. It's not the goaltending. It's how are you going to deploy the goaltending? Because you've had a season all year long for the second year in a row where you've more or less split it right down the middle. Okay, so someone's just going to become your game one starter and is supposed to run the table? Like, that's not how they've done it all year. Yet, no one has really ever gone into a playoff series or a playoff run expecting to rotate goalies. It's just no one's done it.
No, and that's my next question too. Swayman starts this year for sure, though, for the Bruins in the playoffs, right?
I think so, and there's no reason to not believe that that would be the case, as he's had a slight edge in games played and appearances. But I also look at his game and say it has just been okay down the stretch. And he's been a little bit prone in his career, if you look at his numbers, to some late season. It's not a slump. It's a little bit of a slide. His last 16 games, 9-6-1 with a .900 on the dot. His season save percentage is .915. It shows you how far down that number has slid, because pre-All-Star break, he was .924. So it's been a pretty significant drop. I would imagine he's the game one starter, but I think the door is at least cracked open.
Frank Cervalli, NHL Insider Daily Faceoff, joining us courtesy of South Trail Exports, Big Show, Russick and Rose, 960 The Fan. How do the Vegas Golden Knights keep doing it with these extensions? How the hell are they going to keep everybody under the salary cap?
Why do you keep saying that?
Because it seems like it's impossible.
I saw this take yesterday and I was like, why? You make it sound like signing Noah Hanifin to an extension is like they're somehow cutting the rules.
But it feels like, how do they keep doing it, Frank? How do they keep getting away with this? How do they fit everybody under the cap?
Do you have an app on your phone that's an iPhone calculator?
I do.
Okay, here's what I want you to do.
Okay, I'm doing it right now.
I want
now.
You to take the Vegas Golden Knights cap situation and delete off, so subtract $5.25 million from left shot defenseman Alec Martinez.
Okay.
Then add in $7.35 million for Noah Hanifin.
Yep.
So now you're $2.1 million over what you spent this season. Then add in a $4.3 million increase to the cap next year, and you say, oh, wait, they were able to do that and still have an additional $2 million in space next year. It's not that complicated.
What about the Jonathan Marchessault contract, though? What's that going to look like?
Well, he doesn't have one, and my guess would be that at age 33, playing his 34-year-old season next year, that the Vegas Golden Knights do what they did with Riley Smith and some of the other players who have been instrumental to their success as Golden Misfits and say, you've had an incredible run here. We appreciate everything you've done, but just doesn't fit our books right now. You've got to cut the cord at some point, and Marchessault's been magical this year. 41 goals, 67 points.
Yep.
But it can't last forever.
What's the chances Mark Stone plays in the playoffs for the Golden Knights?
Tell me how deep they go, and then I can answer that.
Oh, okay. Round two, maybe?
I don't think he's round one. No one really knows the answer. Like, I'm telling you, I'm not saying that to be funny. Like, I don't think their doctors and Mark Stone know the answer. I don't think Kelly McCrimmon knows the answer. The longer it goes, the more of a possibility, and certainly not round one, game one. I don't even think round one is on the table, at least from what I understand. This was a significant spleen injury with internal bleeding. So I'd say round two, greater possibility, and round three presents potentially a likelihood.
We talked yesterday with Jeff Merrick, and he said it's very hard to beat a team, or was it Dennis Bernstein. It's very hard to beat a team 3 years in a row in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Can the Kings give the Oilers a run?
No.
Okay.
Look, I love, it's controversial if you can call it that. I love the way LA plays because that's the only way that I think they can achieve success potentially in a first round matchup with a team like the Oilers. They can't get into a track meet. They don't have the ability. And the Kings have some really nice pieces. Like, there's no denying that. But Quinton Byfield isn't in a position yet where he can take over a playoff series. And Pierre-Luc Dubois is maybe the most frustrating player in the entire league. And Drew Doughty and Anze Kopitar are obviously talented, important players that are getting a little bit longer in the tooth. And then add in the goaltending question mark. The Oilers have played head and shoulders above everyone else in the National Hockey League since November 13th. The gap between the Oilers in points percentage and everyone else, to get a gap that far, you'd have to go all the way down to 24th in the league. That's how good they've been. And consistently. Now, do upsets happen? Of course. But if it's Oilers Kings for the third year in a row, I wouldn't be picking the Kings.
What do you think playoff success looks like for the Oilers this year?
It looks like X factors like Evander Kane being huge contributors. 2 years ago, he's the X factor for me. Like, we know what McDavid and Draisaitl do. We know that Hyman scored 50 goals. It's two parts for me. One, they need almost all the pieces in their top six to be firing on all cylinders. And Kane is a huge part of that. 2 years ago in the playoffs, he was money. Last year when he was hurt, there's a big reason why they lost to the Golden Knights. And he's been a bit of a tough guy to figure out this season. And the second part of what an Oilers run looks like to me is a team that doesn't shoot itself in the foot night after night. You know, you were just talking about that line about beating one team 3 years in a row in the playoffs. The thing I think about with the Oilers is it's hard enough to beat 15 other teams on your way to the cup. But if you've got to beat yourself along the way, good luck. The Oilers they need to minimize mistakes. You can give up singles and doubles, but you can't give up the grand slam upper deck home run. And they do that seemingly more than some other teams. And it always seems to happen at the worst time.
Our Patrick Dumas had a tweet that kind of went viral yesterday about divisional realignment. You just ready? I want you to have an open mind here, Frank. Okay. Yeah. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Four, eight divisions consisting of four teams each. Okay. Northeast, Buffalo.
Like NFL style?
Yes. Northeast, Buffalo, Montreal, Ottawa, Toronto. Makes sense. Metro, Boston, New Jersey, Islanders, Rangers. Mid-Atlantic, Columbus, Philadelphia, Washington, Pittsburgh. Southeast, Carolina, Florida, Tampa, Nashville. Okay. Northwest, Calgary, Edmonton, Vancouver, Winnipeg. Central, Chicago, Detroit, Minnesota, St. Louis. Southwest, Colorado, Dallas, Vegas, Salt Lake City. Pacific, Anaheim, LA, Seattle, San Jose. Your thoughts?
Okay, it makes sense.
Yeah.
What's the playoff format that goes with that?
Each division winner automatically gets in, and then the four best wild card teams.
From each conference?
Yes.
Okay. I don't mind that at all.
Okay.
I think that makes sense.
All right.
It could be a winner. I just don't know that the league is going to drastically reshape it. And then what does the schedule matrix look like? That's the big question. How many times do you see each team in your conference and then in the West?
Right. But I do like the division winners. And then, hey, all the four best records after that. You could have one team, four teams out of the one division make the playoffs. That would be interesting.
Yeah, I'd be all right with that.
Because that gets rid of this 2-3 guaranteed in the division. This is four wild cards. All the division winners host home ice in the first round, and then you get all the wild cards NFL style. I think it makes a lot of sense. I like it.
I think there's a lot of whining with the current format. Like whether you lose in round one or round two, like I understand the playoff gates that your owner wants, but like what's the difference?
Yeah.
You've got to play good teams at some point. What does it matter?
Well, they like to have six home games instead of three potentially. That's the difference for some.
Let me tell you what else is really stupid.
Okay.
If you were to look at the standings right now, and it's, you know, particularly in the West, right? So if the playoffs started today, it would be Vancouver against Nashville.
That's far.
Yeah, that's a few time zones.
Yeah, that's cross-continent. Yeah, that doesn't make any
sense. What we're going to have is four teams from each division. If four teams from each division get in, then there should be no crossover.
There you go.
Smart or dumb?
Smart.
Smart.
I like it.
I mean, Vancouver-Vegas is not only closer, but it's actually a rivalry. And there's only, potentially, after Vegas plays the game in hand, there's potentially only one point separating Nashville and Vegas. What's the need for the crossover?
Hard to argue.
Yep. Frank, that's why you're one of the best. We appreciate you taking the time out this morning. We love talking to you on Fridays, and we'll talk to you next week, pal. Thanks for this.
Have a good one, guys.
There he is, Frank Servalli, brought to you by South Trail Exports. With inventory shortages across the city, it's the perfect time to sell a vehicle for cash. Visit SouthTrailExports.com. Mike Vernon in studio next. Big Show, Russick and Rose, 960 The Fan.